So welcome to the Wintersman here. And we want to study a few prakim towards the end of Masechta Sanhedrin, beginning with the 8th parak, going on to the 9th and on to the 10th. And the shir is dedicated in memory of, I need the name again.
Yehoshua Heschel ben
Yehuda Leib.
And whoever comes gets a free Masechta Gemara.
Yeah, it has in the back something called Otzer Hayunim in the back.
Ellie and I donated.
So that's.
But they didn't come yet, so. Hopefully by next week.
Okay, good. So the pages that we need for tonight, we photocopied, and also you have the source sheet. Thanks to Ari for printing them out. And the Torah says, and this is an introduction to Perek Ben Soru Moria. Ki yeli ish Ben Soru Moria einenu shomea v'kol aviv v'kol imo v'yisruo so v'lo yishma lehem v'tafsu bo aviv v'imo v'otziuo so El ziknei iro vel shar makomo, v'yamru el ziknei iro b'neinu zeh sorer more, inenu shomea b'kolenu zalel v'soveh. Rugamu kol anshei iro v'avanim v'meh. Subiyarta ro mikirbecha v'chol Yisrael yishmu v'iro. Now amongst the many issues that the Gemara is going to address, are the issues of how old of a child he is and what is his relationship to his parents, because the Torah goes out of its way to mention both Kol Aviv and Kol Imo. So we'll see that in just a minute. According to the Seder HaDvarim, the way Chazal understood it, at the end of the day, after the final Gemar Din, then the Torah says, Uragamau kan sheiro bavanim vames. That's Skila, the Misa of Skila. And the last part of Masechta Sanhedrin deals with the four Misas of Bezdin. That's why Ben Sor Morer was placed here, because it's one of the, shall I say, more rare situations in which the ultimate Misa of all the four Misos, means the Misa Chamura, which is Skila, is implemented by Bezdin. And one of the issues that we want to discuss tonight is why Skila in the case of Ben Sor Mora. Again, you can ask a more fundamental question. Not only should he be exempt from Skila, but maybe he's not even guilty of any Avera. The Torah talks about Einenu Shomea B'Kol Aviv V'Kol Imo. You know, maybe he's a chutzpahdikah son, and he doesn't show respect, but for that, he doesn't deserve to die. And furthermore, the Torah speaks about Zolel V'Soveh. We'll see soon that the Ramban identifies that with the violation of Kedoshim Tiyu, but that's not a lav in the Torah, so we're not sure exactly. Another issue is, he's not a bar mitzvah, is he? It says he's a ben. If he's a ben, maybe he's a katan. So Gemara's going to spend a lot of time trying to prove that he's not a katan. He's got what we call shtei saras. He has a din of a gadol. So a lot of these issues have to come up, but basically the Seder HaDvarim, which you'll see here summarized, is the following. Number one, he stole from his father, and he ate a tartimar of basar, a certain volume of meat that he stole from his father. In addition to that, shasa chatzi lug yayin italki, he drank a half a lug of wine. So he stole both meat and wine, and he drank both meat and wine. That's what the Torah seems to be talking about. At that point, we bring him into Bezdin, and we give him malchus. Right, and the Torah says, V'tofsu bo avivimo votzio so, etc. So it seems that all this follows v'lo yishma aleihem. Do you see that in Pasuk Yudches? It says v'lo yishma aleihem. So there was a round number one. In the first round, Beis Din brought him in. They warned him. And nevertheless, he violated the warning of Beis Din. On the first round, the Gemara says they gave Malkus. And we'll see exactly why he gets Malkus. And then, if he continues in his rebellious state, and he doesn't take the warning of Beis Din seriously, then what happens is, he again was mekalkel, again with Gneva and Achila. So he repeats the averos of Gneva and Achila twice. Once before he gets Malkus, and a second time after he gets Malkus. At that point, after he violates the prohibitions against Gneva and Achila second round, then he's judged for Misa in front of Beis Din. We need a Beis Din of 23 judges, because all of Din and Nefashos requires 23 judges. And he's Chayev Skila. Okay then, so that's just a little bit of an overview of what's going to happen here as we go through the Gemara step by step until finally he gets Skila, and then it'll be Arta Hara Mikir Becha.
Sorry, the
Yisro
also means
Beis Din?
That's
all
I've...
The Yisro also takes place in
Beis Din. Ah, because it sounds like...
Right? And that's why it says, Velo Yishma Leah. He doesn't listen to Beis Din.
Ah, okay. That's
now, who brought him into Beis Din? His parents brought him into Beis Din. And then Beis Din gave him Malkus.
Right, right. That's what I understand. Because
Beis Din is only mentioned after the Yisro, so...
The shilchu is running after
normal. So inenu shomer b'kol imo, right? The Yisrael. So that's after he was brought in the first round by his parents.
Right.
And that doesn't. That's not spelled out in the pshuta
shomer. Right.
And then after the Yisrael, so a second time his parents brought him into Beis. All right.
And then so zikmei yiroi twice. Zikmei yiroi malakia also or.
Yes,
the same
because it's on the way to his becoming Chayv Misa. It's a stage one. So again, we require the Beis Din of Chof Gimel. All right. Now, we have a very interesting statement in the Gemara in Sanhedrin in the name of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. And if you have the page of the Mar Makomos that looks like this, which you'll see here on the desk. So you'll see Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Beis Omer Aleph. Tanya Rabbi Yossi Agli Omer. You see it? It's the third source before the end of the page. V'chi mipnesha ochal ze tartimar basar v'shosa chatzi lug yayin italki, because he violated these two isurim, is Amr Torah Yetzei LeBeis Din Lisakel? Beis Din will give him skila for the violation of these two averos? Ella, but rather says Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Higia Torah Lisof Daito Shel Ben Soru Mora. The Torah assessed the personality, if you will, of a Ben Soru Mora and decided that Sof Nigmar Nichsei Aviv, after he steals whatever he can from his father is now bankrupt, there's nothing left in the estate. Umevakesh limudo. How would you say that in English? Umevakesh limudo, in one word.
Addiction.
Addiction, exactly. This is all about addiction. So the man is addicted, says Rabbi Yossi, and he has no money to fulfill his addiction. Eino motzi, he doesn't find another dime in his father's possession. V'yotze leparshas drachim umelastem es habrios. So now we're already on a more severe state or violation than just stealing, because molestem es habrios implies what? What's a listen as opposed to regular guy? Right, he's going to kill. So this man is a highwayman. He is a potential killer. Amra Torah, the Torah declared Yomus Zakai V'al Yomus Chayav. Shemisasan Shal Rishoyim Hanola Hem Hanoliola. It's beneficial to the world that he die at this stage before he actually murdered anyone. So this is called that Torah Higil Sof Daito Shel Ben Sora Mora. The Torah is already predicting what's going to happen down the line with this Ben Sora Mora when he runs out of funds and he can no longer fulfill and satisfy his addictions. He's going to take people's lives. He's going to become a molastemus abrios. Now this is not just one of the strange statements about Ben Sora Mora that makes it so unique. Ben Sora Mora is like a halachic anomaly, you know, almost like a fluke as far as halacha is concerned. I mean, you talk about Nidon al Shem Sofo. We're going to see that there's even a bigger pella in Ben Sora Mora in this whole parsha, and that's the second source in your page. And we're going back now to Daf Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph. Tanya Yehuda Omer, Im Lo Hoysa Imo Shavali Aviv. When the Torah says, Einenu Shomea Bekol Aviv Ubekol Imo, that phrase, Kol Aviv Ubekol Imo, equates the kol of the father with the kol of the mother. The imlo haisa imo shavali aviv bekol. If she has a female voice and he has a male voice, but not only that, Rabbi Yehuda takes it another two steps further. It's got to be shavali bekol, ubemare ubekomo. What does that remind you of? Right. Sorry, it's shnei seirim. They have to be of the same height. They have to have the same voice. And they have to look the same. I don't know what that means, they look the same. You know, very often they say about a married couple that after a while they start looking the same. It's because you see the children and you think they both look like the children. Einenu nasa ben soramora. If they're not shava of v'imo, there's no ben soramora. There's a lot of deep philosophy here going on. But that's more homiletics. That's not for us tonight. But my timer, how do I derive this conclusion, says Rabbi Yehuda, and I potter him up because it's not imo v'yoviv shavet. The Omer cry, nenu shomer b'kolenu. It says b'kolenu. In other words, in the initial pasuk, the Torah only says that he violates the will of his father, the will of his mother. But it doesn't exactly point out that it's one kol, that they speak with one voice. But later on in the pasuk, it says that the Amru el Ziknei Iro, they, the parents, bring him to the Sanhedrin, and they declare, Zeh Soru More Einenu Shomer Bikolenu. So the word Bikolenu in the plural combines the kol of and kol imo that was separated in singular in the first opening pasuk. And Rabbi Yehuda derives from the word bekolenu, it's got to be one kol. So the Gemara uses Rabbi Yehuda now to shed a light on another statement in Chazal that's quoted in a brisa, Ben Sora Mor Lo Hoya V'lo Osid Lios. It's impossible for Ben Sorer Umora to ever actually happen. There will never be a situation in which Bezdin will declare that he's Chayav Misa Skila. Filama Nichtav, so you'll ask, why was the Torah interested in writing a parsha? Drosh V'kabal Schar. Kiman, whose shita does this brisa reflect? Kirab Yehuda. Which simply, on a very, shall I say, superficial level, means how are you going to find two parents that are actually shoving? The Bach makes a comment in which he lumdicizes this. You know, he gives it a halachic background. I mean, the Bach is not satisfied with saying that physically there is no such thing as a man and a woman who got married and they both have the same kol, they both shom and b'mara u'b'koma. But the Bach takes it a step further. And he says the following. In order for a man and a woman to have the same voice, one of two things has to happen. Either she has a male voice or he has a female voice. And according to the Bach, these are simone soris or islanis. In other words, if the male has a female voice, we assume he's a soris, which means he's incapable of procreation. If she has a male voice, that's one of the simonim of an islanis, and she's incapable of procreation. And therefore, Yefshel Leo's ben that can't have a son, who's a ben sorer mora. That's how the Bach adds a whole twist to it.
So an adopted child can't be a ben sorer mora.
For sure not. That's Pasha. That's even before Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is adding another possibility that you can exclude a Ben Sora Mora even if he has natural parents and he shares their genealogical structure, but nevertheless the parents are not Shavim. And when it says Shavim Bekol, says the Bach, that's impossible because it would either be a Soros or an Islandus. But be that as it may, the price itself asks the question, if Ben Sora Moros lo hoiv lo asid lihos, why did the Torah give us this parasha? Trosh v'kabel schar. But it's very interesting. Kiman oz lo ha du tanya. What does that language imply?
Shita's yachid.
Correct, that there's another shita. There's some dissenting view. And the Gemara, at least in the Bavli, doesn't mention who this dissenting view is. But Rabbi Bechai, in his commentary on the Torah, quotes a dissenting view. Mashanimtza Sham, what you'll find in the Yushalmi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, okay, there are different girsos, but his girs is Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ani Yashavti al Kivro shel ben Soru Mora. What does that mean? If he sat on the burial place of Ben Sora Mora, obviously they put this man to death. So there was a Ben Sora Mora. Says Rabbeinu Bechai, Efshel Loma de Polig Abraisa. Right, earlier Ben Sora Mora was quoted, he quoted the Abraisa, Rabbeinu Bechai, like Rabbi Yehuda, that Ben Sora Mora lohoiv lo nivra. It never was, it never will be. And now he's saying that it's very possible that Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. Because Rabbi Yochanan sat on his kever. Now, if you're interested in the pages that you might have seen here from the Masifta, he has a long discussion about whether you're allowed to actually sit on top of a matseva, on top of a kever. And he suggests that maybe in the case of a Rasha, like a Ben Sora Morer, you'd be allowed to sit on top of the kever. But that's a pella, because he was put to death, and the Gemara always tells us that the Misa is Mechaper. So I don't know why he still has a status of a Rasha.
But we see a lot of times
like the Gemara about Achicha. What?
We see a lot of times that Ali also means next to, not on top of.
Right, so maybe it means next to, he said, next to the Kever. But it's interesting, it's just a side point, not for us tonight, but it's a pedantic kind of issue here. Where are you allowed to sit on top of a Kever? On top of a matzeva. Fine. So first, Rabbi Bechai says that we cannot reconcile that with the brisa of lohoiv lo nivra because it's osid lios. There was a ben sora mora that was put to death and he was buried. Then he suggests another possibility that Rabbi Yochanan didn't really mean that he was actually a ben sora mora. He was a rebellious son. That's all he meant to say. Ke'en avshalom, like avshalom, just like avshalom was put to death by the Almighty, so too, this person was put to death because he was a Ben Sora Mora. Not technically. Lo hoya Ben Sora Mora Gomor. He wasn't technically to fulfill the requirements of Rabbi Yehuda Ben Sora Mora. Ginin Torah Shenigmar L'Skila. That's impossible because you can't have a case where Bikolenu, it's Ovi V'Imo Shovin. So that the Rabbeinu Bechai at the end of the day wants to say that we can perhaps reconcile Rabbi Yochanan's statement with the brisa of Rabbi Yehuda, and everybody would have to come on to this new category called Drosh V'Kavol Schar, whatever that means.
And also Kaman Asla, that have to explain the Gemara.
Say it again one more time.
Kaman Asla, that have to just...
Yeah, I like the first shot that Kaman Asla means it's only Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, but Rabbi Yochanan, in fact, disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda. So that's Rabbeinu Bachai. Very interesting discussion here about whether or not Ben Sora Mora could actually be, or ever was, shall we say.
Then you have to
so I think, what do you say?
Then you have to question if he's arguing on the drasha as well. And then you show me after the kolenu that their kol has to be the same.
Correct.
Well, of course, they would argue.
Correct. In other words, it's only Rabbi Yehuda who holds
or
that...
says it's physically possible.
It's not...
Although then you have the Bach, you know. See... Why did I introduce the Bach to you? Because the Bach is arguing that if you ever had such a mitzvah, then you wouldn't have a van. That's what he's saying.
Right, so he has to agree at least.
That's what I'm saying, that, you know, he doesn't have this drasha of Bikolenu. If he did, then how could he be sitting on the kemer of a Ben Sora Mora?
Right.
All right.
You still have the problem. How could he sit on the kemer if they say Lo Hayah V'Lo Nivra? But that's different.
The fact that he sat on the kever would have to imply that the Hoya V'Nivra, there was a Metzora Mar.
It's a historical machlokes.
But it's a much more profound machlokes, as you point out very well, because they might be arguing about whether you need this impossible condition. And that's only Rabbi Yehuda Shita, but not Rabbi Yochanan Shita. So, you know, I would bet my bottom dollar that if you asked anyone who knows Chumash and Rashi, like, for example, my wife is a graduate of the Michlala. At that time in the Michlala, for girls, they required that you had to go through all of Chumash and Rashi. I don't know if it's still the same today. So if you ask anyone who went through Chumash and Rashi, he will tell you that Ben Sora Mora is Drosh V'Kabel Schar, Lo Hoya V'Lo Nivra. And that's what I have here, if you'll take a look below Barabbeinu Bachaye. You'll see that he says that, just one second, maybe not. Wait a minute. No. Rashi actually only quotes the Brisa of Rabbi Yossi. Let me just see. Achi Yignom. Ben Sovar, Neragal Shem Sofo. So it's not here in Rashi. Maybe it's in other of the Mefarshim. But it's pretty famous. I think your average person, if you tapped him on the shoulder, would probably quote to you this Gemara Baal Peh.
In the Gush, we have a lot of people that can do that.
Yeah? So lo hay v'lo nivra.
It's not in the English speaking.
Okay, so let's just summarize 2 points that we made. Number one is that according to Rabbi Yehuda, clearly Ben Sora Mora lo hay v'lo nivra. Number two, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, he's nidon al shem sofo. Now the Ramban points out, and you'll see this as the next to last source on your page one, that despite the fact that the Gemara says in the name of Rabbi Yossi Aglili that he's nidon al shem sofo, he has violated certain averos. Not averos that would justify a capital punishment of skila, but he has violated averos. And the Ramban lists three averos. He starts with two, and then he adds a third, which is very interesting, because that third might be, and I don't even know if the Ramban was trying to answer a kash of all the Rishonim, but might be an answer to the kash of all the Rishonim. So let's just see what averos he actually violated. Number one, he says, Shumakala avi v'imo umamre bahem. So I'm not sure exactly what the Ramban has in mind. I took a look in Chevelle, he didn't comment at all on it.
One of the orers in Kisavu, Oror makala avi v'imo.
Isn't that makala? No? Can you look up the... Can you do me a favor and look up maybe Rashi on that pasuk? I think he means Makal, but I didn't have a proof for that. I thought maybe... There's also a great commentary on the Ramban from a neighbor of mine from Har Nof. I'm not sure if he got to Sefer Dvarim yet. Margolis. You know, fellow, you remember Margolis? Hadar Margolis? So he's writing extensively on the Ramban. But then afterwards he writes Umam Rebahem. Like, if he's talking about Makalil, I don't know why he sort of goes down a level to Mam Rebahem. I mean, even if you're chutzpahdik and you rebel against your parents, that's not in the same category as Makalil.
I believe Makalil is Misa.
And Makalil itself is Chayim Misa.
There's no Chiddush of Mitzvah Mar.
So we're going to get to that in just a minute. Hold on to that question for just a minute. I don't want to jump ahead of myself, but you're good.
Rashi says Mezalzel.
Makal Mezalzel. See, that actually fits better in the language of the Ramban, because otherwise he's Pasak, Pasak v'chomor v'siyeh v'kal. I don't know. So the Ramban is more likely using two different words. You don't have the Ramban there on that Pasak. Okay, forget it. It doesn't matter. Vasheni. What do you say?
On our Ramah of Avimah, there's no Ramah.
On that Pasuk that you're quoting? There's no Ramban. We'd have to do a word search in the Ramban. Okay. Today, Baruch Hashem, we could do these things, you know. Vasheni shu zolel v'sove. So why is he violating a Torah law if he's, let's call it gluttonous? Al mashen itztavinu kidoshim tiyu. You remember the first Ramban in Kedoshim, very famous Ramban, and there the Ramban actually uses those words. If you want to look up the Ramban in Kedoshim, he quotes even a pasuk in Mishlei, Zolel v'sove. And now the Ramban adds a third violation. Now, again, in the first violation, I'm not sure, again, if he means Makalil, then you're talking about a lotase, a very severe lotase, a capital crime. If he just means that he is Mezalzel and his parents, so that would be a bittul of the essay of Kaved or Mora, but not a lot losase, and certainly Kedoshim Tiyu is only, we'll call it an essay, right, an Iser essay, Lava Bamachal essay. And now he has a third essay. V'od v'oso tavodu bo tidugu kasher pirashti. So the Ramban explicitly refers back to an earlier comment that he has on v'oso tavodun. And it's shenitztaveinu l'das Hashem b'chol drachenu. That we should look for God in all our ways, in all our behavior. V'zol v'sove lo yoda derech Hashem. He's not interested in the derech Hashem. He's gluttonous, he's interested in fulfilling his desires, you know, he's in love with meat, he's in love with drinking whatever he drinks, we'll see yayin italki, the best wine that there is, and that's what he's interested in.
Isn't that a bit of circular logic with the Ramban? He's saying, well, that's the pshat, and therefore here
the Ramban is saying the following. Why do we need Nidon al Shem Sofo, which seems to imply that he's not guilty at all at this point? Right. He is in fact guilty of three different violations. But the Ramban says, as we go on, do you see the words vi al haklal? You should cross those two words out. That's a mistake. There's a lot of mistakes in the Ramban. Rabbi Chevelle points out that in the correct text of the Ramban, it says ubiderech klal, it should say. Ein bo ato chet maves. Even if I grant you that he violates three different averos, but that doesn't generate a chiyuv misa. And here's where you have to introduce the principle of Rabbi Yossi. Al shem sofo hu nidon. And he refers to this sugya. The Ramban answers another question. Why is it that this particular condemned criminal who has to be put to death requires hachroza? Right? So the Ramban answers, Kilo humas begodul cheto. As far as the violation and its severity is concerned, he would not be worthy of death. Eliyaser Bosa Rab, the Torah in effect is telling us and giving us an insight as to why we have to put this guy to death. And the answer is Liyaser Bosa Rab, to give like Musar and warn the people. Shloyeh Takol Lacherim. Because if people will be influenced by this Bensorah Morer in all his ways, in which he violates all these different Isurim, that's going to create a tremendous takola for others. So we got to nip it in the bud. So again, the Al Shem Sofo here in the Ramban, I think, takes on a whole different meaning. What do I mean by a whole different meaning? Rabbi Yossi says, what does it mean that we have to put him to death? Al Shem Sofo, because Yetze Leparshas Drachim Umalaste Mesabrios. The Ramban is, I think, adding another dimension. I'm not sure if he's disagreeing with Rabbi Yossi Aglili, meaning he has another source. But he's certainly emphasizing the fact that there's going to be a Takol L'Rabim. And the Takol L'Rabim seems to be the fact that he's guilty of those three sins. So the Ramban doesn't even allude at all to the Sofo Malaste Mesabrios. Interesting.
Well, he says Moshe is Kiru Rabbo Seinu, which is
correct, but yet I don't know if he has those last three words. Last name is Abrios. I don't know. It's just a pella to me. In any event, so we have already three different discussions. Number one, Lo Hoya Velo Nivra, according to the Talmud Bavli, correct? Right. So the Nidan Al Shem Sofo means that every person, if he starts in this way and he rejects the mitzvahs of Hashem, both in terms of Kiburav and in terms of Kedoshin Tiyu and Avodas Hashem, then who knows what's going to happen. You know, once you start in that way, in any event, we have three discussions here. I just want to summarize them. Number one is lo hoya v'lo nivra al shem, right, al drush v'kabal schar. Number two, nidon al shem sofo. And number three, he is guilty now, although that wouldn't justify his chiyuv misa, but he's guilty, says the Ramban, of three different avirus. Now we get to the kasha of the Bali Atosis, which you'll see on page 2, and then we'll go back to the Maril Diskin on page 1. This piece, by the way, maybe one of you could fill in the history, because it's word for word in the Pirush HaRosh al HaTorah. The Rosh was one of the Bali Atosis, but a later Bali Atosis. So it could be that the Das Kane Bali Atosis based himself on the Rosh, or vice versa. And he says the following, E Kasha. You see that? On page 2, in the second paragraph, the second line. Kevan shenerag mibnesha osid lelastem es abrios. So leave out the Ramban and our discussion about Biarta Rami Kirbecha, the Yisrael so, and the Takol Lacherim. Let's leave that out right now. Let's go with the simple, straightforward brice of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. And it's sofo lelastem es abrios. And that's what it means. Nidon al Shem Sofo. So what's the kasha of the Bali Atosvis? I kasha came in generic mipnesha osid the last name is Habrio. So what does Al Shem Sofo mean? Al Shem Sofo means, let's anticipate what's going to happen down the line, and the next logical conclusion should be, let's punish him for that which he hasn't yet implemented, but he will implement. Do you follow the logic here? So therefore, the Bali Tosa has the following kasha. The last name of Sabrius means he'll be guilty of murder. Well, what's the punishment for murder? Right, it's Sayef. Sayef is lower on the echelon of Chiva Misa than Skila. You're jumping a step over here. Kevach and Eregum Nesha Osid Lulastim is Abrios. Ein lechayvo b'misa chamura milistim. De'ilu rotzeach, if he was a rotzeach indeed, let's say he was rotzeach before, b'sayif. V'zeh, but this ben Sora More, who's nidon al shem Sofo, and Sofo last name is Habrios, is b'skila. Why are we giving him a punishment that's more chomor than the violation that we anticipate he would violate if we would leave him as is and let him live? Why the extra step? Why upgrade it from a severe misa of Saif to the most severe of all misos, namely Skila? By the way, I don't know if you'll have the same sense of sort of association that I have, but when I hear of Skila, the first thing I think of, anybody?
Shabbos.
No. Shabbos. I always, whenever I hear Skila, I always think of Shabbos. And the whole parsha of Mekoshe Sheitzim. Okay, so I'm wondering, I'm trying to anticipate what's going to come around the bend, that this Ben Sora Mora might be guilty of Chil Shabbos. But the problem is that the Gemara says, Melasim is Habriyos, which is Ritzicha, and not Chil Shabbos. So we'll see if we can combine Ritzicha with Chil Shabbos, in some sense. But in any event, this is the Kasha of... So what's the Teretz? V'niril Lomar, midichsiv, einenu shomea b'kol oviv v'kol imo, havi kimo, mekalel oviv v'imo, shehu b'skilo, shenemar oviv v'imo kilel dom of bo. I'm wondering if this line, this answer to the question, why ben Saramor is chayav skila, because of mekalel, but again, emphasize the word kimo mekalel, that maybe that's what the Ramban had in mind. Even though, again, we came to the conclusion that the word kolo, makle, right? The word makle doesn't mean lekalel, but maybe it's that kind of rebellion, or zilzel, as we call it, undermining the authority of his parents is ke'en klola. Let me say it in a Balabatish way. I mean, we could say it the following. That when the people realize that this individual is doing such terrible things, they're going to blame it on the parents. He's only a 13-year-old child. It must be that something's rotten in Denmark here in the way he was raised.
I'd say it the other way. When
that
his
what?
Parents realize that this is what he's doing, it's going to eat their kishkas out.
So maybe they shouldn't be mekalel the parents. I'm trying to explain why it's a klola for the parents.
When he's mekalel his parents, the problem is that they get a klola, right? They feel the klola. So here they feel the effect of the klola.
No, I see. I was going with your first name is David, right? I was going with the second interpretation of the Ramban. I was trying to see if I could fit this Ramban into the Bali Atos. In our second interpretation, we said that Mikla doesn't mean anything more than Zilzel. So he wasn't Makalim.
Right, but what's... By being Mizalzel, yeah. That's like he was Makalim, his parents.
Really?
They feel...
See, I didn't see it that way.
If your child is, you know, going on this path... You'll feel like, you know, he's spitting in your face. This is...
Yeah, but a klola is very technical. You know, a klola is very specific. That's what I wanted to say. Maybe it's too balabatish for your mind, which is okay. That what's going to happen is that the people are going to curse the parents. They're going to say, look what we have over here. They're raising a child that ultimately will be a melastemis abrios. May they be cursed. And they're going to literally curse them. And maybe that's what the rush means, or the Valiatos, when he says ke'en klol, that they are, that this Ben Sora Mora is causing those around them to be makal the parents. I don't know. In any event, we have something very, very interesting here. A kasha of the Valiatos, Why is it that if Nidon al Shem Sofo, and he's going to be Melastem as Abrius, which is the Isur Tzicha, why are we upgrading his punishment, his capital punishment, from the level of Saif, which is appropriate for Otzeach, to a more severe level of Skila? So if you take a look at the pages from the Masifta, again, I keep shifting back and forth, if you don't mind. On the second page, you'll see in the middle of the right column, he quotes the Maral. Did everybody see that? The Maral, as you know, wrote a super commentary on the Torah, really on Rashi, on the Torah officially. And he says the following, that, and I think if I'm not mistaken, I think the Maral is basing himself on a Yad Ramah, but hold off on that for just a second. In any event, the Maral is also bothered by the same kasha of all the Rishonim, namely, why do we give him Skila? And he quotes Rishonim, which he doesn't like, that we're going to say that he will kill someone, right? He's so desperate to murder someone, to take their money away, right? To supply himself with whatever he needs, his addiction, that he will kill someone even on Shabbos. And therefore he violates which of the 39 malachos? Netilas Neshama, and he's Chayav Misa. Which Misa is going to be Chayav if he murders someone on Shabbos? Skila. Because when you have two chiyuve misa that are both generated by the same action, right? He should be chayav for tzicha sayev, but because he did it on Shabbos, he now is upgraded to the level of skila. Then nidon bechamura shabam. That's a basic principle in the last half of Masechta Sanhedrin. So we're going to give him skila, which is a more severe punishment because he murdered someone on Shabbos. So Maral doesn't like this.
No, but it could be.
I don't know. It's not clear, but I think it's the Yad Ramah. We'll see the Yad Ramah in a minute.
Also, yeah. To murder somebody on Shabbos?
To murder someone on Shabbos,
besides being a murderer,
you're also Mechal Shabbos, to boot. So you might ask me, you know.
She gets
Kila
because it's a worse.
Right. Nidon Mechal Shabbos.
If he's having a lot of meat, isn't it more logical to say, you might kill an animal on Shabbos as well. And then you don't have to go to all the long distance to kill it. You're saying,
well, again, we're trying to figure out. No, that's a good kasha, but just to understand those Rishonim, they're trying to explain Sofo Lelastemus Abrius, which they interpret as Ritzicha.
Right.
So the question is, if it's Ritzicha, why are you upgrading him to Skila? And they came up with this fantastic idea that he's so desperate, he'll kill you.
I'm saying if you want to get the skill, there's a quick way of doing it.
But again, he's addicted not just to meat, he's addicted to wine. Right. Who knows what else he's addicted to? Right. You know, today we would say he's addicted to cocaine, right?
Cell phone.
Hopefully he won't kill someone for a cell phone, but you never know. I don't know.
No, but it's very known that people that are addicted to drugs, they'll steal from their family to get them to buy drugs.
Sure. Unfortunately, I know of a case in...
He just has to buy raw meat and wine because of meat
fentanyl and cocaine. Is it Nidon Hashem Sofo? Does it apply to any other crime in Jewish law?
Excellent question.
Or is this the only place? And then
why the emphasis on Ritzicha in the Rishonim? Okay, so we'll get to see that in Mirtz Hashem right now. And the Maral says the following.
If you have an adult who's a criminal, who's addicted, but he's got no parents, he's addicted, he's 40 years old, but he's behaving the same way, we don't kill him.
Excellent. You're asking all the questions that we hope to address. The Maral rejects this approach of killing on Shabbos, based on a principle called Sofek Nefashos Lahakel, which means the following, that unless you're absolutely sure, you're certain beyond any shadow of a doubt that he should be high of that particular Chi of Misa, and he violated that crime, then you cannot put him to death. In the case of someone who kills someone on Shabbos, We gave Mahasra. We're absolutely certain that he killed someone on Shabbos. He's going to be chay of skila. But in the case of a Ben Sora Mora, you're trying to anticipate what he's going to do. Well, there are 7 days of the week. Do you know for sure that he's going to kill someone on Shabbos? The Torah should upgrade and make it more severe to the level of skila. Why? Because he's going to kill on Shabbos? Suffic nefashas lahakil. We can't give him a more severe punishment based on the possibility that he'll kill on Shabbos. That's the Maharal's problem. So he says the following. It's an unbelievable Maharal. I'm not sure if this if I would tell this Maharal over to my Rebbe, Rav Salfage, I'm not sure if he would throw me out of class by saying no philosophy. But I have a feeling that A, the Maharal meant this al pi din, what he's about to say, and secondly, I think he might be right. He says the following. I don't care whether he's going to kill on Shabbos. I don't care if he's going to murder on Shabbos. But one thing I know for sure, he's not interested in murdering one person. One person might carry him over with enough cocaine, you know, for the next month or two. But when he runs out of cocaine, he's going to kill another person and then another person. Says the Maharal that a person who's guilty of multiple murders is not going to get away with saif. We're going to upgrade his misa to the misa of skila. Now, is that a halachic statement? I don't know. The Maharal takes it very seriously. He says, Zeshe nerag al shem sofo. I'm reading bay. Shei mischayev besof bekama misos. Al kama ritzichos. Now, you can't kill a person more than once. Because once you killed him, he's already dead. But he's really chayev many, many misos. For many, many ritzichos. Every ritzicha generates its own misa. So what do we do in such a case? He killed many people. Now we have to put him to death. Should we put him to death with Saif? He says, no, no, no. Now his ritzichos are upgraded to a more severe violation. The chomer mitzadzeh, it's more chomer, and dino beskila.
That's very strange. If somebody actually killed several people, it wouldn't be chayv.
The Maharal is claiming that he is, which is not true, no, but the Maharal seems to be saying that.
The Eidim come to Beis Din and to say, you know, on this, you know, we saw him kill, so they're gonna sentence him to death for that murder. But here, Al Shem Sofa, we're looking to the future, we see him killing multiple times. Whereas in Beis Din, they'll try him for one incident that they have Eidus for.
You're gonna try one at a time.
Right, you're not gonna try one crime.
What if he pressed a button and the bomb blew up and the building fell down on 10
people? The Maharal didn't know about bombs.
But listen to what he says here. Again, this is the Mechaber. Listen to the Mechaber of the Otzer Ayunim. He says, Mashmos Dvarov, Shebe Emes Kol Rotzeach Bi Alma, Shehosif Lirtzoach, Beikro Yeshla Duno Beskila, Meachar Sherotzach Pamayim. There may be technical reasons why we don't put him to death with the death of Skila, but he's really Chay of Skila.
He says, because he's already chayv once, we're just going to kill him for that one.
Right? But again, as you point out very well, if let's say Beis Din was not done him on one ritzich, but was done him on multiple ritzichos, then the way he's reading the Maharal, and again he's being medayik in the Maharal, I would never, you know, I wasn't trained to be medayik, you know, with my thumb in the Maharal, but he's being medayik in the Maharal, that if he would be judged for multiple misos, he would be chay of skila. In fact, in actuality, we're going to have to do every ritzicha one by one. But maybe if he throws a bomb, like you said, maybe we could be danim on all the ritzichos. Right? The Gemara talks about Zorak, Evan Lego, and all that stuff. So he says that according to the Maharal Miprag, if not for a technicality, we would kill a person who murdered multiple murders with skila, not with sayif. There's a technical problem in the fact that we already judged him on the first ritzicha, and it was a gemara din lewat le sayif. Therefore, he will not be judged for what's it called for skill? Avol pibin. So Moriel now he says your svara from before. She'enu chayv misa daim v'nidu al shem sofo. Then we can combine all the misos again, because again the whole thing is a fantasy. We're only anticipating what will happen or might happen. I don't know. Will happen, and he's going to be guilty of multiple ritzichos. Forget about Shabbos. If you're talking about violating ritzich on Shabbos, then suffering the fashos. I don't know if out of the 7 days it'll fall out on the Shabbos. But if you're talking about how many ritzichos, that's vada. He's definitely going to be guilty of more than one ritzicha. Which itself is a premise that the morale is like. Do you see how they're working overtime to try to figure out why a Ben Sora Mora is chayav skill?
I could answer my own question. Like again, it's all kind of philosophical. Right? I don't think it's halachic so much, but there may be a difference of killing with one action 10 people. But if you kill one and you went and killed another, then this progression. There's something worse about the progression.
But that's fine. I can create a scenario. Right? This guy's got 10 people lined up. He's planning on killing them all. You have two Edom. The Edom have to give him Hasra. They know. He's standing there. They can't stop him. He's standing there. He's going to kill them all. According to this, it would be the wrong Hasra. If they gave him Hasra, that when you kill, you're going to be Chayef Saif. Because you have to give Hasra for the
first one Saif, the second one
Skila. Well, wait a second. So the two possibilities. Either he gave Hasra for Saif or he gave Hasra for Skila. Let's go through the two possibilities. If he gave him Hasra for Skila, the way he's learning the morale, then he'd be Chayv Skila. Everything's fine.
It'd be Hasra Safek was...
And then he wouldn't have anything.
You know,
he hit Bezech Arzeh?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't understand. I thought you said he threw a bomb.
No.
So wait, let's go slowly. If he threw a bomb and they gave him a hasra for skila, then the morale is saying, the way he's learning the morale, a gevaldige chiddush, that it'll be chayev skila.
You'd have to give him hasra for skila.
And he'd be chayev skila. Vushtetos, where does it say
it? Work.
Right, but I'm just saying, where does it say anywhere in any masechta, and certainly not in Sanhedrin, that if a man was guilty of multiple murders, homicide, multiple homicides simultaneously,
yes, then the funny
he's
wrong. The Maharal didn't mean it.
Correct. Okay. Good. He himself is going to backtrack, but I'm just saying that was his understanding of Maharal. You know, it's like a borderline philosophical halachic statement of the Maharal. And we're going to see how the Maril Diskin, who lived only 120 years ago in the city of Brisk, how he dealt with this Maral. Yeah.
The whole premise of that we have to match the Onish Tov Giv Ben Sorer with the Averi is going to do, I have a problem with that whole premise, because you're not punishing him for Mita, you're punishing him for the way he's acting now because of the way he might act in the future. So I think to link it to what Averi he might do, it's a shayach, because the whole concept again, you have to have Edim and Hasra for that specific Avera. So you can't say, we pick Skila because we think he might kill someone on Shabbos, or because if he kills multiple people, that it's Shabbat to give him Skila. You can't make that connection because it's a preventative Mita.
Yeah.
So you can't link it to the Avera because you don't know what a specific Avera is going to do. At least him is going to be someone that kills somebody, but you can't link it to the Avera because he hasn't done the Avera yet.
Right.
Can you say, well, get him to Skila because he's going to do
so? I think.
If Ezra has to have this din because we know he's going to do it at the end, and for whatever reason, which you have to lachkor maybe why he picked Skila, but you can't link it to what the Averi might do because it's not Shaf, because you can't give that unless there's Edim Hasra for that specific Averi.
Right. So let me just say this. On the page one, if you move back, when you look at the Yad Ramah, is likewise grappling with the question why is Chayv Skila, and he presents the possibility because this person is going to do many, many different averis. But then the Yad Ramah is going to face a myriad of problems. The Gemara itself focuses on one avera, namely last name is Averis, which we said we identified as Ritzicha. And furthermore, how do you know what averis he's going to... He's going to violate. So you see the Tirtzah Rishonim? Is everybody on the same page? It's should say page Aleph on. I don't know if it came out in the photocopy. The last paragraph on page Aleph. Tirtza Rishonim, Shemyamshich, B'maisim Aroyim, V'yirtza, L'malos, Tominis, Tavosov, Zalzel, V'svoaf, V'kule. Is Yovel Lassim, Sabir's Gam, V'shabbos, V'rotzeach, Over Mishum, Etilis, Neshama, Fine, etc. Okay. So the Yad Ramah says, wait a minute. He hasn't killed anybody. You want to tell me that if he would kill somebody, he would kill somebody on Shabbos, and therefore he's Chayav Skil, he hasn't even killed anybody. Which again implies sort of the Maral's argument, but basically whatever Avera you're going to tell me, he's Nidon Al Shem Sofa, and it's a Chayav Skila, who says? I mean, he hasn't violated that Avera. So there must be a brand new halacha of Nidon Al Shem Sofa. So if this new halacha of Nidon Al Shem Sofa allows us to investigate all possibilities, then we'll definitely come up with the Chiyuv Skila. But the Yad Ramah is not satisfied with that. The Gemara pinpoints one specific Avera for which he's Nidon Al Shem Sofa, namely Ritzicha. And at this point, the Yad Ramah throws a beautiful, in my humble opinion, a beautiful curveball. Why all the emphasis on Ritzicha? And as we said before, Ritzicha is one of many possible averos. So part of this Yad Ramah I understand, but you'll have to help me with the other part of the Yad Ramah. The Yad Ramah says that why is Ritzicha being singled out here? Because this whole concept that you could punish a person before he violates the Avera has basically only one precedent in Halacha. What was that? Was that a siren?
No.
Oh, okay. It's not Yom HaZikaron or anything, is it? So you're with me, Rabbi Osai. There's only one case within Halacha. I don't know if any of you learned by Rapanis. Rapanis used to always call it the Halachic universe. Right? There's only one case in the Halachic universe where a person will be punished because we anticipate what the Avera that he's about to commit. What's that called? A Rodev. Beautiful. This is where I get so excited that the Yad Ramah makes now an analogy between Rodev and Ben Sora Moreh. The two cases in the Torah, if you want to say, of Nidon Al Shem Sofa, where he's being punished without the Avera. Well, in the case of Rodef, I understand full well why we're putting him to death before the Avera. That's in order to save whom? The Nerdav, right? We're saving the Nerdav. But now, according to Yad Ramah, in the case of Ben Sora Mora, we're also going to save a Nerdav. It's just that we need Al Shem Sofa because there is no Nerdav. But we know that there will be a Nerdav. You know, it's technically, if not for the principle of Al Shem Sofo, says the Yad Ramah, we could not apply the principle of Rodev, because he's not yet a Rodev. So Rabbi Osai, you know, in all the movies, they always show you how the criminals are planning, you know, like the terrorist movies and all that, you know, they have all the tochniot, you know, all the plans and everything else. Are they considered a Rodev? I heard in the name of someone that you could kill anyone who belongs to a terrorist organization, Midin Rodev. In my humble opinion, that's not true. I think we could kill him for another reason. That has to do with the Din Mulchama, but not Midin Rodev.
Even by putting on the
gun. You just give me a gun and I'll kill a potential terrorist, but not because he's a Rodev.
Even if he's putting on a suicide belt?
No, he's a Rodev.
I don't know. At some point, you have to decide when he's actually in the Maisa Radifa. When do you define the Maisa Radifa? But certainly, a Ben Sora Mora is not involved in a Maisa Radifa. But for that, we use what? Nidon Al Shem Sofa. We're going to already anticipate and superimpose upon him. We're going to graft upon him the status of what? Of a Rodev, because he will become a Rodev. Again, we have to deal with that. That's the next part of the Yad Ramah, which you're going to have to help me with. But one thing I do understand here, for the first time in my life, I understand in the light of this Yad Ramah, why the emphasis here was on last name of Sabrios, specifically on Ritzicha. Not because he'll be Rotef on Shabbos and he's Chayav for Shabbos. And not that Ritzicha is just a representative of all the different Averis for which you're Chayav Skila. like Kloa and so forth, Makalov. He says, Shemitzad Chil Shabbos Levad Lo Ayinu Hargan Osal Shem Sofa. There is no Avera for which you're Chayav Misal Shem Sofa. I know that you're about to be in Chal Shabbos. I know that your intention is to Chil Shabbos. But no one's life is at stake here. No one's in the danger of dying. We're not going to put you to death. Al Shem Sofa. There's only one Avera. Rak Mishum Shem Sofa Lertzach. That's where we will implement a punishment Al Shem Sofa. Yeah, I was thinking to myself that maybe in the light of this Yad Ramah, you could explain what does it mean, Yomus Zakai, the Al Yomus Chayev. Where was that? Was that Rabbi Yossi Aglili? Just 1 second. Who said that? Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Yeah, Yomus Zakai v'al Yomus Chayev. Why did he bother with that? Zem Yutal Chalutin. He already told me that Sofa last name is Abrios. And because he's Sofa last name is Abrios, we have to put him to death. And now he says Yomus Zakai v'al Yomus Chayev. Who cares? That's a moral comment. Yeah, you know, we'd like to save someone from being immoral and being a criminal. We want to bury him amongst the tzaddikim and not amongst the rishonim. Well, what does that have to do with the price in China? It's nidon al shem Sofa because he's Sofa, the last name is Abrios. But maybe according to Yad Ramah, what we're saying is Yomus Zakai, meaning a rodef is chayev because of his intention of a terrible, dastardly criminal action. It's not only just to save the victim. It's also, in a certain sense, to save the Rotzeach. And he's saying that Yomus Zakai, technically he's not a Rodef. Right? But it's Nidon Al Shem Sofa, so that makes him a Rodef. And if that be the case, we could add another element into the equation, and that is Yomus Zakai v'al Yomus Chayev. L'chein horgenoso ata, umi achar shekvar horgenoso. Now he gets to the question of Skila. And this I don't understand. Mischashvim bozeh shegam yechal Shabbos b'sofo le'inyan sheichiu chayev skila b'losai. He's saying once we implement the principle of nidon al shem sofo, now we could say that he's going to be mechal Shabbos as well. I don't know if he means that he's going to kill someone on Shabbos or in order to steal and supply his addiction, he will violate the Shabbos. I don't know. But how does A lead to B? Do you follow my question here in the Yad Ramah? You know, he starts with A, and then he goes to B. You know, he's convinced me that Al Shem Sofa, we're going to consider him a Rodef now and put him to death. But then he sort of switches his channel, and he says, well, he's going to be Machal Shabbos.
No, Rodef, you're able to kill any way that you can.
Any way you feel it.
Any way that you can. Now, since we are in control, we can choose which one. Since we can choose which one, we'll choose whichever one seems most appropriate. And since it's also part of his personality that he'll be Mechal Shabbos, so we'll choose that one. As what gives us the right to kill him is
his Rodef.
The choice of how to kill him is Nidon Hashem
Sofo, and he'll be Mechal Shabbos.
Could you really
I think you're 100% right. I still think it needs a little bit more. Right? I don't know.
Yeah. In a real case of Rodef, could you kill it to him? It's a rechamur death.
If that's the only way you could save the nirdaf, that's right. If you could shoot for the legs, you have to shoot for the legs.
Probably one hit with the rock, you might miss.
Can I just try and
shoot the gun?
I want to give this some thought. I'd like to pick this up next time, just a quick wrap it up.
Also, we didn't do the Kuni tonight.
Why is he?
Oh, we didn't do the Mariel.
Yeah, we decided he's a rodent. I'd like to suggest that it's his mother. Because the mother's instinct is to protect her son under any circumstances. Not so much the father's instinct. The mother who read the Torah knows that by dragging him to Beit, he's going to die. So, the fact that she's willing to do that
She knows something. And that also gives her an equal voice. We said the kolos to her husband. Because
if she goes that far.
She goes that far. She's got an equal voice to her husband.
And she's also given up.
In a society where she's expected to stay in the kitchen and more or less compliant.
All right. Very good. So I'll see you gentlemen next week. And we'll try to do the Maril Diskin. If you get a chance, you have it on the pages.
It's election day next week, right?
What's next week?
Election day. It's okay.
Here in Israel? But I know you gentlemen like me, you'll want to be the first in the booth. You can vote for. I don't know.
I assume you're saying halal before you vote.
Yeah.